All right, welcome everyone to another Tuesday evening, another Tuesday afternoon here. I'm actually going to try something a little different here. I've called Barry Prince on his Facebook Messenger, so I'm going to see how this works. I know he's been having troubles with his Skype, but he always wants to come on shows, so I thought I'd give him a little bit of airtime. Hello, Barry. How are you today?
Well, I don't always want to come on shows, but you're always cool to have a conference, so I'll sit and chat with you about just about anything. There's a lot of things going on.
Yes, yes. Well, I know you still got some background noise there, but speak up a little bit, though, if you could.
See if I can work with that, Steve. Just give me a minute here. I'll adjust it. I'll bring that down a bit. Is that better?
Well, just speak up a little bit.
Okay. How's that?
That's a little bit better, I guess.
Well, I think that's the best we're going to get. I need a headset.
Probably so. I know it's going to be hard for people to hear you, but I do have guests coming on in the second hour, but the first hour I was going to fill with stuff, but I guess you and I could talk instead of filling in with stuff anyways. But welcome to my show, Barry.
Yeah, this is a new one for me, man. You're usually producing my show, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I've actually had you on my show because we chatted with people for about an hour. I think a conversation would be good. I think we see eye to eye on most issues, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff. you know, the thing I have with the political spectrum is you and some of the other Canadian people that you've been coming on your shows are supporting one certain candidate, Maxime Bernier, I think is his name or whatever, but I have said, and I've made it clear on all of my shows and even on Facebook and all of the social media that I don't really care for any of them. I don't trust any of them. I don't believe any of them have anything for us, if you know what I'm saying. They're not going to be doing anything for us. But I'll let you comment for a second.
Well, you know, Steve, I don't like politics. I don't like politicians. They get elected themselves over. Right now in Canada, we have a situation where we need to get the existing powers out in place with something that might give us some time to actually change them and actually get the vote for the people. But I've looked at this last top of the bottom, and what really attracted me to the party more than the people that are getting involved, the caliber of people that are getting involved, is just absolutely mind-blowing. Look at the background of the people that are getting into the party. And they're all getting into the same reason. They're all absolutely blown away with what they see going on in the country, and they're trying to stop it. But whether you can or not, whether this is a giant charade to clear the people, I don't think it is, Steve. I think this gentleman's got more interest and real interest in the future going forward to heart. So I'm going to support him for now, and if he's lost on me, I'll stay out of school. But right now, he's got my support. Because we have no other choice in Canada. It was like in the United States, pick between Trump and Clinton. Well, Trump is the worst of the two evils, or the better of the two evils.
Well, I've had to raise you up in the in my mixer, so I'm having trouble hearing you, so I'm sure that a lot of people are still having trouble hearing you, but anyways, no, that's okay. I know we need to try to get your Skype fixed and your microphone or whatever. I know you're still working on a lot of things. You're working on getting back there in the bush and making some more money. You're working on your truck here today, too. And everybody needs to work on a lot of things. I need to work on making money myself, and like a lot of us do. But I know I mentioned to you and others, anybody can search back in YouTube recordings, and they put it all up on YouTube. There has been no American politician that has sworn an oath to the American people and to the American Constitution what they have sworn to is the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., to that particular Constitution. It's all about semantics. It's all about the wording, and it's all about how they say it on who they swear to. I'll let you say something now.
Well, yeah, you're right. They work for the corporation of the United States of America. It's still a division of crime. I'm not going to be going on. I don't understand why. But I know that any government in the world can be different from the people that are coming to you. They're all working the same agenda. It doesn't matter where they're going to be. They're all the same thing. Because I'm just a different case. So, but right now, I find myself in a real picture. I find myself in a situation longer than I would have thought I'd see in my lifetime. But it's really when I started going down the rabbit holes, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, I knew it was just time to come to think about it. I'm going to see some crazy stuff happen. See some shit happen now. Where it's going? I don't know.
Okay. I didn't really catch the last bit of that, but...
I'm sorry, Steve, this is really just really large. I'm trying to speak in here about the phone on my computer. Like I said, I'm babysitting my cat, my daughter's cat, for a week, and it chewed through the microphone cord on my headset yesterday, the day before.
That's a little bit better. Just go ahead and speak up, all right?
Yeah, well, if I speak right at the computer, you seem to pick it up pretty good. Actually, you know what it is? Hang on, Steve, let me do something here. Let me fix this.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know what you did, but tons
okay,
better.
Okay, I got it figured out, buddy.
Tons
took
better.
Me 4 or 5. I'm speaking into my camera.
It's about a zillion percent better.
My microphone.
About a zillion percent, but 10,000% better.
Okay, bear with me, folks. You're dealing with an old guy. It gets aneurysm. Alzheimer's is setting in, man.
Well,
no, actually, you know what it is, Mike, is, or my mic on my camera is where what's picking up my noise, and I just moved my camera.
Uh-huh.
It's working really good now.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, I couldn't figure this out the other day, I don't know, Steve. I thought...
Well, you are...
The mic was in my computer, but it's not. It's in the camera.
So. Well, you're almost...
We got it all figured out.
You're almost officially you would be considered a senior citizen down here in America, but I don't know about up there, but...
Well, I am. I'm 65 now. I'm classified as a senior citizen in Canada. I got a pension coming now. It kind of made things a little bit different. No, yeah, you guys can hear me a lot better now.
Oh, my God. That's like 10,000%
better. They're saying that shaking weight. Now they can hear me.
Yes, that's like 10,000% better.
Okay. Well, let's go forward.
Okay, that's fine with me.
I was just watching some vids there, Steve, just before we went on air about the Bahamas and some videos taken of the destruction. Boy, I'll tell you, they got hammered, but I'm still kind of hesitant on the mainstream's report of it hitting 225-mile-an-hour winds because that hurricane stalled, and if you had 225-mile-an-hour winds stalling over top of you for any length of time, you wouldn't think there'd be a building standing. And I see a lot of buildings standing, so I'm a little skeptical about the report on the actual speed that it actually hit. I think they overplayed that a bit myself.
Uh-huh.
But what do you think? Have you looked at the vids? Have you looked at that today?
No, I certainly haven't.
Okay.
You know, I I don't really want to go in a direction, but, you know, it needs to be said. The corporations, there are corporations out there because the patents have been out there since the 1930s. Allegedly, they have had weather manipulating technology since the 1930s and 40s because the patents have been out there and they are out there. There have been many reports of governments that advertise freely open on the internet and, all other type of medias that they can manipulate the weather for you if you have a certain price, if you have a certain amount of money that you're willing to pay. People don't even know about this, but
I don't know about that. That's the first
I do believe I do believe the technology has been out there and is out there. Take Alex Jones for what you will. Take him with a grain of salt, or take him and throw him over the bridge, or whatever you want to do. But he did have about 10 years ago a 90-plus-year-old man on his show, and he did a small documentary about him, maybe an hour-long interview. The older man was, I think, in the Air Force or something like that, and this older man claimed that back in the 50s, the military was able to manipulate weather, create hurricanes, or stop a hurricane if they wanted to. So, you know, that interview has been out on the internet for about 10 years or so. Anybody can go research that if they want to. Was this older man lying about back in the 50s, the military and government and corporations being able to manipulate the weather?
I don't think so at all, Steve. They've been playing around with that since, like you said, the end of the Second World War.
Well, there's also been what's called the white papers, or writings, if you want to call them that, of corporations looking into weather manipulation back in the late teens, early 20s.
Mm.
That's all far this, well, I don't want to say agenda, but, you know, what else do you want to call it?
Well, it is an agenda, Steve. Everything we see being played out right now is part of the agenda. I mean, it's a huge picture, but I don't think there's anything going on in our society right now that isn't part of a big agenda myself. And I say that because I look at everything that's going on. Everything that we're experiencing now seems to be funneling us in one direction. We really, really see this climate emergency stuff coming out here, left, right, and center now. It is being ramped up. We're seeing teenagers indoctrinated and pumping it all over the country, and people going, yeah, we're in trouble. We got to do something. We're in an emergency. Well, boy, oh, boy, I've studied weather here on the planet for the last 765 million years, and I've looked at some of the events that have happened on this planet. And what we're seeing right now, to tell me that this is man-made, I wouldn't buy that for all the money in the world. That what we're seeing right now with this weather agenda is just a giant ploy being played on the people.
Wasn't man-made, do you mean? Is that what you mean?
I don't know. You know, sure, we might have a very, very, very small impact on the weather, Steve, but in the big picture, when you look at the geographical history of the planet, if you look at 765 million years ago, this planet was covered in ice, and yes, the equator was below zero.
Yes, there's an interesting comment that Lori made in the chat there. Even HARP was originally designed by Tesla. I'm not so sure about design, but maybe theorized. Maybe he did design it. I haven't studied Tesla a lot, but I do know that Tesla has a lot of theories. And do you know that Tesla theorized back in 1924 about cell phone technology?
Yeah. He was so far ahead of his time.
He was. He was.
Your mind. Yeah, he was. And I believe that HARP, Tesla technology is being employed in HARP. I'm no expert at all. I just kind of understand it a bit. But to say that that they're not manipulating the weather right now, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand, because they have been doing it for a lot of years. I just don't understand it all.
Hello? Oh, okay. No, I don't.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here. You kind of cut out there for about a second or so, but it's okay now. No, Tesla was pretty much written out of history. As all of us know, the winners do get to write history, and they do get to write the narrative. They have been trying to destroy Tesla and a lot of history for a long, long time.
Well, they don't want people to know history, Steve, because history always repeats itself.
And yes, it does.
It does. If you look at history all through history, history has always repeated itself. And if they use a certain agenda on the people and it works, why would you not use it again? And what we're seeing right now is just the exact agenda being played out that's been played out on the human race for a long, long time, because it works.
Over 6,000 years.
Yeah. So why would you go away from it? I mean, it's proven to work.
Yes.
What we're seeing right now, you know, I have read a little bit of the Mein Kampf. I'm not much of a reader, Steve, but I've looked into some of the things that the Mein Kampf says. And if you read that, you'll see that today what we're seeing in our world is almost chapter, verse for verse.
Well,
what is the Mein Kampf. So they used it before and they're going to use it again.
It's interesting. There is historical writings out there, and even video archives that show that Hitler didn't really have anything against the Jewish people. What he was fighting against, allegedly, was Zionism.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the Jewish people and Zionism.
Yeah, you and I know that, but, you know, 7.6 billion other people don't.
Well, a lot of people's minds are influenced by what they see through mainstream media. And if you pay attention to mainstream for your information, you'll be misled. You've got to go to other sources. You got to look at history yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm no historian. I don't understand it all because my brain can't retain that kind of information. But I've looked at it, and it all makes sense.
Yes. Yes, Laurie said that Hitler was used. He was actually, and he was used.
Of course.
Another listener made the comment that Mein Kampf wasn't totally written by Adolf. It was also written by other sources.
Yeah, the people behind the scenes that actually put Hitler in place and manipulated.
The Zionist, yeah.
Well, you got to look at the Bayer Corporation. You got to look at the Bush's involvement in the Second World War. You got to look at all those connections. It's all black and white as you start looking at it. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's the Harrimans, Rhodes, Morgans, Rothschilds, Rockefellers. They were all involved.
Second World War.
Yes.
And they all made a lot of money off of that war.
They did. They did.
So
I read a startling statistic. What was his name? He wrote a book. Talk on it. I got the book and I got the audio book. And his name is escaping me now, but there was over 12,000 millionaires and billionaires that brand new millionaires and billionaires, over 12,000 that profited from World War I alone.
Yeah.
The actual worldwide profit from World War I alone was over, what was it, $21 trillion or 19, somewhere in there. It was an astronomical number for, you know, 1914 and 1918. Astronomical amount of money that was made just for World War I alone. Yes, the Warburgs also.
Wow. I hadn't actually looked at the numbers, but
over 12,000 brand new millionaires and billionaires just for World War I alone.
12,000. So how many people died in that war? How many million was it? I forget. Yeah. Something like, I don't have it tip my tongue. I think it was around 6 million or something died in that war. I don't have the figure right in front of me, but it's regardless. It's the fact that,
yes,
you know, the poor people from countries go to fight the other poor peoples from other countries, and the billionaires always make money. The military industrial complex just grinds on, and people think that we're fighting an enemy. Well, they make the enemy, and then we go fight the enemy, and our people die, and they make billions. And the same thing's been going on for a long, long time, Steve.
Yes, it is.
Perpetrated,
yes, it is.
Of course, by false flags.
Yes. Some of the first people that ever capitalized were the Romans, the Roman Senate and the Caesars. They were the ones that pretty much invented the deceptions and the manipulations that we have to deal with today. Invented this prison system, if you will, you know.
The taxation system.
Yeah, the taxation system, and also the sporting, Caesar invented the sports to, you know, deceive the masses, to control the masses, to distract the masses.
Yeah, keep them entertained.
Yeah.
Give them a call to see him and go kill each other and call it entertainment.
Yes.
The gladiator state, man. Well, you know what, Steve, when you think about it, we're getting close to that now in our society, you know, where you look at, the violence that's portrayed and called entertainment and the millions and millions and millions of people that flock to go watch it. Well, the same thing was happening in Rome.
Sure it was.
A little bit more extreme, but the same thing was happening in Rome.
Certainly it was.
So history repeats itself, man. And I haven't studied a lot of history in my life, but I've studied enough to know that if something works, then you'll use it again. Yes. And what I see right now is the same agenda being played out on the human race right around the world, not just here in Canada, not in the United States, but everywhere.
Yes.
And I think it's coming to a head here real soon, see, myself.
Well, I kind of hope so.
Well, I do too. I do too. I think it's time to either we take a stand or we become civilians of a tyranny for the rest of our lives. That's what's coming.
Yes. And I, you know, sadly enough, I've said for a long, long time, especially here in America, we have, I don't know, I think it's like 330 or 340 million people now, but I think it's going to take a great catastrophe to actually awaken people. Probably Canada too, because, you know, they've been trying to tell us for a long, long time that, well, about the apocalypse, about the zombie apocalypse, if that's what you want to call it or whatever. They've been telling us that one single nuclear blast up in the atmosphere would take out the entire electrical grid in America. Probably North America for who knows how long. Months and months, if not years.
Yeah, you think about that, boy. You want to talk about turning society upside down overnight, man. Imagine the electricity for 10 years.
Yeah, not being able to...
Think about that, and boy, you want to see anarchy in a society overnight.
Not being able to get on Facebook or Twitter, huh?
Well, we wouldn't be having this conversation ever, Steve, and I wouldn't know what's going on down in your neck of the woods, and you wouldn't know what's going on up here.
Right.
That's a real possibility. It's a weapon they could unleash on North America that would cripple us, absolutely cripple us, make us unable to defend ourselves, and very easy to take over, especially if the country that's taken over is the one that let the EMP go, and they still got electricity and you don't. What a scenario.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, I think they'd have a little bit of an advantage. We got sticks and stones, and you got what?
Well,
hyper cruise missiles. Yahoo!
It'd be a lot like Israel and Palestine today.
Well, Israel's definitely got a little bit of advantage in technical weapons for sure. That's a subject that I don't know if you want to get into that one today or not, but we don't have to. No, we'll stay away from that one today.
I mean, not that I don't want to. It's just you know, there's too many other things we can do.
Well, man, I'm not going to realize we're on the verge of war right now, and we are.
I'm not going to be shy and say that Israel was not financed by the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and other Western banking interests, because they were. Mm-hmm. The Mossad and Israel was basically started by Great Britain and America.
And who's making money?
Great Britain and America. And
follow the money, man.
Western banking. Yes, follow the money.
Been going on for a very long time, Steve. But I think we're going to see myself. One of the things I do follow is economic situations. And I listen to guys like Gerald Celente talk. I listen to some of the top economic people in the world right now. And they're all screaming their heads off. Whether this is a ploy or not, I can't. They're all saying the same thing right now, that we're on the verge of the biggest economic collapse the world has ever seen.
Well,
and I don't know about it. I look at everything that's going on, how the world is pulling away from the U.S. dollar, how this is going on, how that's going on, and we're pretty volatile time.
There are countless people all over the world that actually believe that economic collapses are a natural thing. They are not. They are manipulated and controlled by Western banking interests. They have been. Go ahead.
Of course. Well, if the dollar collapses, the bankers will make billions. Billions. But I think it's deeper than that, Steve. I think they're setting us up right now for a one world banking system. And I say that because I've said this a lot on my shows. I kind of think about it and go, well, you know, if you guys control the money, then you can basically do anything you want. And we know that every country in the world owes every other country in the world money right now, that we're sitting on a huge, huge bubble created by fiat currency and getting away from the gold standard and everything else that's happened, the formation of the Federal Reserve, how they've manipulated the U.S. economy, how they've put countries billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars in debt. And all they have to do is poke the bubble right now and everything will collapse. Well, if that was to happen, and they have the power to do that because, like I said, they control the money. If that was to happen, then you think about the effect on society. And, of course, if it did happen, then, of course, they'd come up right away with the solution to the problem, problem, reaction, solution. They know how society will react if that was to happen, and they know what the solution is that they're going to put in front of society, and a good percentage of society will embrace it because they're screaming. There's a screaming in their heads, man. They can't go get food. Everything's shutting down. I mean, what's going on? What are we doing, guys? And all of a sudden, they come on TV with the answer, and unfortunately, a lot of society will embrace it. Go ahead. My thoughts.
Well,
that was a bit of a spiel, but you know, something I think about all the time, and I study it, Steve, and I go, wow.
For sure.
If you really wanted to bring society to their knees overnight, that would be the mechanism that you might want to use.
Well, certainly. I read a few years back, probably a dozen years or so ago, just after the 2008, so-called recession or whatever, but it was actually a depression when you want to look at it on paper. It was actually just as big as the 1929 crash in 2008, but the media and the government downplayed it. They just kept printing more and more money, and they just kept adding to the bubble. And they were taking bets in 2009, 2010 on which bubble was going to be next, whether it was going to be the student debt bubble or the corporate debt bubble, and they're still blowing that bubble up.
It's a bubble of the week contest.
Yeah, bubble.
Who's gonna have the biggest bubble this week, guys?
Yeah,
let's poke that one a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's been since probably 2012 or no 2016 when Trump was selected. they said that the economy was doing a turnaround, and this was happening better for the American economy, and that was happening. But, I looked around in all of the areas that I would travel in, and there was more and more homeless people. There was more and more people standing on corners begging for money than ever, and there still is.
Yep. Well, since our crime minister took power here in Canada,
crime minister,
every year our crime rate has gone up 4 years in a row since our crime minister has been in power, and our national debt now is higher than it's ever been before. The per person debt in this country now is, I think, it's 128. What did I just read? $78,000 per person I owe right now.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, come and get it. Amory, whatever you want, man, just fill your boots, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But
how are you going to get that out of people? But that's just what they've done. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, some of the things that Trudeau's done here in the last couple of weeks, I don't even want to get into them because my blood pressure will get so high, I won't be able to talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't matter how many times I try to tell people the United States Supreme Court decided long, long, long time ago, many, many decades ago, that the American people do not have to pay federal taxes. Federal taxes are only for corporations, but yet people are still coerced, bullied. What's the good word I'm looking for? They are
manipulated,
extorted.
They have to do that, or the IRS is going to come knocking on your door.
Extorted.
Yeah, I know. The same thing's going on up here, Steve. But literally in Canada, the only people lawfully required to pay income tax are government employees.
And corporations.
And corporations.
Yeah. But
do you think you get the Canadian public to embrace that? Because they're terrified of Revenue Canada because of the power that's been given to these agencies by the government. I mean, boy, oh boy. I've said it before on my shows, and I know one day they might come and lock me up, but I haven't done a tax return now in Canada for 10 years. And when they do get in touch with me, I tell them, come and get what you want because I got nothing. Because I got rid of all my assets, man.
Uh-huh.
But I do have assets, but they're not assets that you can touch. They're metal assets, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, like that idea or not, it's still a tangible item that if we do have a collapse of the physical or the fiat currency, then whether it is tangible or not, I think gold and silver are still a wise thing to get a little bit of, if you can get your hands on.
Well, you know, that's all good, fine and good, but when it comes down to it, you're not going to be able to eat silver or gold.
True, but if you have something that's tangible that is still tradable, you might be able to acquire some food with that silver and gold.
Well, you know.
It's all good. I put a little bit away, Stephen. If I don't ever use it, that's great. If I use it, that's even better, you know. But I've got this old saying that it's better to be prepared in case something does happen than have something happen and not be prepared.
You know, I am at the point where I do want to go back to work to get some money, even enough money to get a little bit of a land. I do want to build maybe a log home. I don't have to spend $100,000 to build a home. I really don't. If I could, I know how to run a chainsaw. I can learn how to build a log home. Anybody can. It's on the internet. Search Google and search YouTube, how to build a log home. And it'll teach you, you know, a few friends that are willing to help.
You prefer to get somebody that's running a chainsaw a little bit instead of grabbing a chainsaw and all of a sudden trying to make a log home, because you might have an accident. Not saying that you're going to, but I know the cutting involved in doing a log home, so you want to have a little bit of experience. But I'm sure if you work together with somebody in your community, you could find somebody that's got chainsaw experience. Yeah,
I'll bet there's got to be people.
I'll help you build your house. I'll do the physical labor, but you do the chainsaw work, and then we'll build my house, and I'll do the physical labor, and you do the chainsaw work.
Right. Well, I might be the same way, you know. It's called the barter system. You help me, and I'll help you, you know. I'm sure in my area, somebody just said, build a treehouse. Exactly. There's a TV show about that doing that now. But that's for another show maybe. But
Anytime I do a flooring job for people, Steve, you know, I'm the floor layer. Anytime I do a flooring job, I say, hey, you know, I'm always willing to trade. And they'll say, well, what do you want to trade? And I say, well, I'm always looking for collectibles and old stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I've done a lot of jobs in the last 5 years where I've traded for collectibles, and then of course I can go to a flea market and turn those collectibles into cash money. And I know the government's listening to me, and I don't care, but I do as much as I can to keep money away from the government. I just don't want to support a system that is destroying me and my future.
Yes, exactly.
So I've learned how to try and keep as much away from the government as I can. I don't have a bank account anymore. People go, how do you live without a bank account? Well, you know what? I'm doing quite fine, man. Quite fine. It's a slight inconvenience, but nothing you can't work around. Yes.
Well, you certainly wouldn't want to move to Sweden. Did you hear about that?
For a lot of things, but what issue are you talking about over there? The cashless society?
Cashless society. They do not have money anymore at all.
Well, it's not 100% in place right now, but by January of next year.
Yeah.
Is what I read.
Well, you know, it's almost virtually there now. Cashless. Yeah, it's almost virtually there right now.
Yeah, well, same thing with India. Same thing with India, Steve. India is now 92%, I think it is, or 94% cashless.
Uh-huh.
They've gone to biometrics.
Yeah.
The whole population of India.
Yep.
When you think about the size of the computer system they got to have to maintain that kind of data, man.
Certainly.
Like, holy smokes.
Certainly.
How far ahead of us are they, really?
And actually, India is well over a billion people, too, as far as population. So that's like over three times the size of America's population. So imagine that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you think about the fact now they're going on biometrics for the whole population, they've got retinal scans for everybody in the population. You're identified by that scan. Boy, are we ever getting close to 1984, Steve.
Uh-huh. And another listener just made the comment, Poland rejected cashless society idea that was put in talk last year. So I guess that's good for Poland.
Are you, where are you getting those comments from? Are you on PIR right now?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were on Shake and Wake.
Well, I'm on both, actually, yes.
Okay. Well, I should know that. Boy, am I ever missing today, Steve.
Yes, I do want to recognize Andy for letting me get on Shake and Wake. I did forget to mention that in the beginning because I just called you, but I did also forget to mention, because I just called you after I went on air, but both stations are listener supported, so please go hit that donate button if you like what we're doing.
Yeah, I always sometimes it slips in my mind, but I always kind of get it in the beginning of my shows. What I do forget a lot of times is thank you, Steve,
uh-huh,
at the end of the show, but I managed to get it in at the last second there on Sunday show.
Yeah.
Larry's telling me to wake up. Okay, I woke up. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I only had one cup of coffee today. That's the problem.
Uh-huh. Do I need to thank myself for putting myself on air?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Never mind.
Okay.
I said, do I need to thank myself for putting myself on air? It was a joke, and you didn't get it.
We'll go forward here.
Okay.
I just said hello to the people from PR, and they're all telling me to wake up. And,
I noticed that, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm woke up, guys.
And
any more than two in the morning? Well, Lori, actually, I only drink two cups of coffee in the morning, and I didn't have my second cup today, so you'll have to forgive me.
Uh-huh.
But I'll try and step it up. But anyways, what else is going on, Steve? All kinds of crazy stuff.
Well, I posted...
I was just going to say somebody posted in Shake and Wake there a picture of four systems that are supposed to be happening right now, and I didn't see it anywhere else. So whoever sent that link over, if you can send me up a follow-up, if that's a current link, I'd like to see that.
Four systems?
Four systems going right now. Barry, I don't need more coffee, Annie. I'm okay.
What type of systems?
Disruptions, you know, possible storms.
Oh, okay. I see.
So I just wanted to say, anybody in Shake and Wake, the person that sent that in Shake and Wake, if you could send a follow-up link, I'd like to look at that.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, this one that's hitting the coast, it down to a category 2, I guess, now, 110 miles an hour, and it's going to miss the coast. It's going to skirt it. The only thing we're going to see is some pretty good storm surges and some pretty good winds close to the shore, but
yeah,
it looks like we're going to get lucky and it's not going to be a direct hit on land, which would have been a pretty bad scenario.
Certainly would have.
But you might say they dodged a bullet. It's only a matter of time, Steve. You know, you look at the hurricanes in the Pacific and, you know, hurricanes have been going on for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
And it's only a matter of time before they get a direct hit. So
yep,
they were lucky this time.
Yeah. Oh, you asked me a minute ago before we got on the Florida storm thing there or whatever, but I just find it very, very interesting that, well, I find it exasperating that people do not see the things that I see and you see. You know, they have this big to-do about nothing, or in their mind, in their eyes, it's a to-do about nothing about arresting Jeffrey Epstein and then having him in prison for, what was it, like 2 or 3 weeks, and then this first attempted suicide or whatever it was, and then like a week and a half to 2 weeks later, he does finally allegedly commit suicide. And then all of a sudden, it's been 2 or 3 days now, 3 or 4, whatever the deal is, that the case against Epstein has been dropped. And I'm almost sure and I'm almost positive that it will come out that all of the evidence that was collected from his island is going to mysteriously disappear, of course, and they don't really know what's going to happen to it. And all of his cameras are going to mysteriously malfunction, of course, and everything's going to be fine. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a move along, folks. There's nothing to see here in the end.
Kind of like the 84 cameras that took pictures of the apparent.
No, they all malfunctioned. You do know that.
Some malfunctioned.
You're talking about the Pentagon, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but all of a sudden the FBI was running around collecting videos from all those cameras before it was released to the public. And
yes,
the only video we ever see of it doesn't look like an airplane to me.
No. No.
If you buy that, folks, I'll sell you a bridge in New York City. Just
yes.
send me some money and I'll send you the deed tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. What a joke, man. The subject I get into talking with people about a lot, and something I've studied for years, is 9/11.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's actually
going on, Steve, is a tragedy. Go ahead.
And actually, what a lot of people don't know, but 2 months before September 11, 2001, Dick Cheney took away the power from the captains and the majors and the generals that ran the Pentagon to protect the Pentagon. He took that power away from them. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that, and they also, of course, came on national TV. They did that they had misplaced, I forget how many billions of dollars of
2.3 trillion.
Of money. Yeah, 2.3 trillion, excuse me. And, of course, the plane accidentally hit that office that was containing those records the next day.
Oh, yes.
The plane that did 180-degree corkspin turn and came in at, 540 miles an hour?
500, yeah. Yeah, an actual feat that no other airline pilot could recreate and would recreate. Yeah,
so that's impossible.
From a man that couldn't even fly a Cessna.
Well, I know. And then, of course, he came in at ground level at that speed. Well, anybody that understands airplanes knows
but
that the vortex alone.
Don't forget, Barry.
The ground pieces and the plane would have crashed.
Don't forget, though, Barry. He took out dozens of streetlights.
Well, yeah, 3 or 4 of them conveniently in a row.
Yeah.
And nothing happens to the airplane.
Correct.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No. So they're very strong. Look what they did to the towers, man.
I've actually seen a video, Barry. They actually made a video before 2001. I think they made a video in 2000 setting up that exact scenario of a drone-flown airplane, like a Boeing 747 or 767, whatever it was, taking out streetlights, and the plane crashed miserably and never hit the target that it was supposed to because of these.
It wouldn't. No. But
what?
100 issues that day that we could talk about that are physically impossible to happen. So that's not.
Yes. Well, Barry, I'm just about at the hour.
3 hours.
I'm just about at the hour, Barry, and I've got two other guests. I got two other guests coming on, so I need to take a nature break anyways. And I do appreciate you coming on, and I do thank you that you got your microphone fixed or whatever in the world you did. I don't know what you did, and I don't care what you did, but I'm glad you got it fixed. Hello, are you there?
Okay, well, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're kind of almost cutting it in and out there a little bit.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, bud. Thanks.
Bye. Okay, everyone. I am at the just about at the hour, so I'm going to take probably about a 10-minute break and come back on with the second hour's guest, Vin Byrne and Ben Gilroy. So I'll be right back real soon.